especially true of emails and documents that describe how federal officials make important decisions.
Correspondent Sophia Manos reports tens of millions of American dollars have flowed into Yemen.
The United States has poured more than $326 million in security and civilian assistance into Yemen since 2007, fueled by the escalating threat from the Yemen-based al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. The aid abruptly stopped last year as political and security unrest raged, but now the aid is about to resume.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Now that it's the new year, isn't it time for the new you? The you who resolves to stop overspending and take control of your finances. After all, those credit card bills aren't going anywhere. Nonprofit Trinity Debt Management is here to help. Trinity has a proven program that will consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Shouldn't you call Trinity? 1-800-760-8552. That's 1-800-760-8552.
The Republican presidential candidates now look to the South and this week's primaries. Correspondent Ed Donahue brings us more on the story.
Coming off a win in the Kansas caucus, as Rick Santorum is talking about a two-man race. On NBC's Meet the Press, he didn't call for Newt Gingrich to drop out, but
the better opportunity to make sure that we nominate a conservative is to give us an opportunity to go head-to-head with Governor Romney at some point.
But on Fox News Sunday, Newt Gingrich has other ideas, calling Mitt Romney a weak frontrunner.
After the last primary in June, we're as likely to see a 60-day conversation about what's going to happen as we are to see Romney dominating.
Gingrich is hoping for a strong showing this week in primaries in Alabama and Mississippi. I'm Ed Donahue.
The Coast Guard has suspended its search for four people missing from a fishing trawler off the Washington coast. Petty Officer Sean Eckert says crews in Coast Guard cutters and a helicopter covered more than 1,300 square miles since the 70-foot Lady Cecilia sent out a distress signal early Saturday. Eckert says they have now searched longer than anyone might have survived in the water. The search was called off before midday Sunday. Oil industry analyst Trilby Lundberg says there are indications gas prices may have peaked.
Since the gasoline market is so weak right now with high supply and low demand and excess refining capacity, it would take crude oil to move the price up to $4 or beyond.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EB's sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel, and we have a very special guest with us today. In a moment, joining us from England will be Chris Butler Stroud of the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Society. Later in the show, Lori will be discussing a recent cockfighting bust in Southern California with one of the law enforcement agents involved in the arrests. Amazing it's still happening out here, isn't it? Well, recently, at the annual conference of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, this was held in Vancouver, a lively panel discussion concerning legal rights of cetaceans was led by our guest. Consequently, there is currently a great interest in this topic in the media, on the blogs, and in the animal welfare and rights community. This panel followed the May 2010 Declaration of Rights for Whales and Dolphins, which was drafted in Helsinki. Chris Butler Stroud is chief executive of the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Society. It was established in 1987 and is the leading global charity dedicated to conservation and welfare of all whales and dolphins. And welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you very much, Peter.
Okay, so let's just start by asking, what were the aims of the panel discussion which you led last month at the AAAS meeting?
Well, there were four of us speaking at the AAAS, and the idea was really to build on a session that had taken place 2 years previously, where the issue of social complexity and intelligence in cetaceans, whales and dolphins, was discussed. And people were interested in what were the implications for that. I think 2 years ago, it was relatively new. Lots of people have suspected for a long time that cetaceans were intelligent. But increasingly now, the science has been coming through saying these are highly socially complex creatures. And there's been quite a lot of work being done by ethicists and philosophers that have been starting to look and say, what does that mean in the way that we treat whales and dolphins? And the AAAS was interested in furthering that discussion and seeing what it means for science. How does science now step up to the plate and say, actually, how should we react now that we're starting to understand that these creatures are maybe much more than we thought they were before?
Yes. So give us an overview. What have we learned recently about the science that gets us interested in this?
Well, first of all, I think as scientists, we've learned that actually we haven't always been equipping ourselves with the tools to be able to understand our fellow creatures around the world. The ability of scientists to keep what we would have called a respectable distance between the way that they viewed our fellow creatures and ourselves meant that I think a lot of times we were missing things. Work of people like Laurie Marino in the U.S. and Hal Whitehead out of Canada recently have started to say, well, actually, there is much more going on. We now start to use phrases like culture when we're talking about the way that whales and dolphins are actually evolving. We have situations and documented situations where we're beginning to understand that whales and dolphins can use culture to actually adapt to their environment. And the moment that you have culture overtaking normal biological evolution, then we have to start to understand that something very, very amazing is going on with these creatures. What also the science is teaching us is that what we've long suspected, which is that these creatures are individuals, that they have a sense of identity as individuals, which I think a lot of people have suspected for a long time, that is now coming through really strong. And that is challenging us to say, well, okay, when we sit down and governments are thinking about, well, there may be this many thousand whales out there of humpback or whatever species we're talking about, and they say, well, a biological removal rate of X is allowable in, say, a fisheries bycatch, we're now the science is starting to say, well, actually, if you lose those critical individuals, which actually are the hubs of some of the cultural transmission in those groups, it's not just the same as saying we lose 5% of a population and it's okay. We actually may be losing the key to the long-term survival for those groups and populations.
Are you saying that there are individual dolphins and whales who are leaders of their culture, who are vanguards for their progress?
Well, I think that if you look at distinct species like orcas, or colloquially known as killer whales, we've known for a long time that these are matriarchal societies, that the females survive, and actually it's often the grandmother who's past reproduction age that is looking after that social group. And these social groups, amazingly, we're seeing maturity, say sexual maturity, in some of these individual orcas at about 9 or 11, you can actually, in captivity, force them to mature earlier. And unfortunately, we do see them being bred at very young ages. But why, when orcas are maturing at, say, 9, 10, 11 in their natural environment, why aren't we then seeing them actually reproducing until about 13, 14 on average? It appears that there's some social development taking place. We would have been reluctant in the past to say it, but it's almost like having teenagers. We want our teenagers to grow up before they get into those kind of relationships that lead to pregnancy. And in orcas, there seems to be some cultural transmission taking place, which is about them learning and developing those socially complex things that they have to learn, which are going to be important for their future survival. And that survival is all about social structure, how they interact with each other and how they interact with other orca groups. So yes, there are individuals in some of the populations that we've been studying, which I would say are becoming the critical husbanders of the culture, which then is passed on to the rest of the group. And if you remove them and the culture hasn't been transmitted fully and others haven't learned all those skills, then actually they could be in a disadvantaged situation in terms of their long-term survival.
Very, very fascinating. And the idea of culture and these animals as individuals leads to the notion of rights for whales and dolphins. How do you define rights for cetaceans?
Well, I think the first thing we have to say is that we're not... I think a lot of people would go, as soon as you mention the word rights, they think of human rights. And yes. I think that's one of the mistakes that we have to avoid. We're not saying cetaceans have human rights. What we're saying is that this social complexity, this ability to use culture, means that we have to understand that there are should be certain cetacean rights attributed to this group of creatures. And it's a bit what the philosophers would say is we have to start thinking of them as individuals and thinking of them as persons. Now, when we say humans are persons, that doesn't mean all persons are humans. And in this case, we have non-human persons. And I think it's difficult sometimes for people because to react to that because they tend to always think of persons as being human beings. But if we think of it as here is a creature that is self-aware, potentially in certain populations and species of cetaceans, highly intelligent, has ability to forecast the future, to, in some species, use tools. These are persons as individuals that relate to each other as individual persons, i.e. they identify each other differently. We know this from the science in terms of certain species that have calls. We've known it in bottlenose dolphins for a long time, that they have individual calls. We used to think some of the bigger whales were maybe less capable, but dwarf minke whales, which some Japanese scientists have once, or politicians once called the cockroaches of the sea, it appears off the Great Barrier Reef, dwarf minke whales have individual signature calls. So these creatures that can relate to each other as individuals, when we say they are persons, it is that philosophical description of a moral identity as a person. And from that, you then have to start to challenge ourselves, which is in terms of the ethical way we relate to them, are we actually behaving in the right way? So if these are individuals that have self-identity, are we ethically, in terms of removing their food from the oceans, in terms of disturbing them, and in the worst cases where we're hunting them, are we actually doing the right thing by them? And I think from an international perspective and from a domestic perspective, the only way you end up defending their ability to be what they are is to actually grant some sort of entitlement. And that's where the debate goes from the understanding of the science through to the concept of you have to start thinking about species-specific rights for this group of animals. Because then you can start to equate those and test them against other rights, be it human rights or any other species.
And I will tell you, we are going to explore that after our break. We are speaking with Chris Butler Stroud. He is the chief executive of the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Society. I would say that a lot of our listeners here on Animals Today would have no trouble relating to the concept which you just laid out as non-human persons. It makes perfect sense to us, and that idea, I bet you, is going to become more and more widely accepted as it gets out there. So stay tuned. After the break, we'll be speaking more about whales, dolphins, and how they fit into our society and what we should do to protect them.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
This message is brought to you by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
At Quicken Loans, we close many of our home loans in 30 days or less. But if you work with someone other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with a lender that takes a lot longer. Here's an analogy. I ordered a pizza 4 hours ago that should have arrived in 30 minutes or less. Think of my cold, unappetizing pizza as a mortgage from a lender that doesn't care about closing loans quickly.
Here's your pizza, dude.
You should have been here a lot sooner.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
The choice is clear. A mortgage from a lender that takes forever to close your loan, or a piping hot mortgage from Quicken Loans that arrives fresh at your door in as quick as 30 days or less. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
If you're watching your wallet like most of us, then here's a family vacation offer from Caribbean Cruise Line. Imagine your family on a luxurious vacation to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, full spa, casino, live entertainment, three kids clubs, a kids water park, and more. Now imagine getting this amazing vacation deal for only $59 per person. This cruise has a full retail value of $500, and it's yours for just $59. We guarantee your family will love this vacation offer, and you'll love the price at just $59 per person for a $500 all-inclusive cruise to the Bahamas. Call right now. Book your cruise vacation. Space is limited. Call 800-364-3105. 800-364-3105. 800-364-3105. 800-364-3105.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Chris Butler-Stroud, Chief Executive of the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Society, and we are speaking about all the news that's happening and how we are starting to think more deeply and thoughtfully about whales and dolphins based upon new scientific information and our understanding of their cultures, their social complexity, their intelligence. And we were speaking about this concept of non-human persons. And Chris, I wonder if you can respond to this potential for the slippery slope counter argument here. If these whales and dolphins are deemed to have greater rights based upon whatever attribute or ability or culture, then shouldn't animals with slightly lesser degrees of these qualities also have some proportional enhancement of their rights? Where does this lead?
Yeah, Peter, I think it's a question we often get posed, and actually not always as politely as that. It often comes from the lazy sector of society that actually doesn't want to face up to the issue of how we relate to our wildlife and the creatures around us. We can only deal with the science we have. I've seen remarkable science on primates, and I've seen remarkable science on elephants. We know that through the work of, as I mentioned before, Lauren Marino and her team, that we're seeing things like spindle cells, which are these neurons in the brain which are potentially related to emotional reactions of creatures. And we see them only in four groups of creatures, the three I've mentioned, and human beings. And in fact, they were found in primates to begin with. Where we draw the line really is going to be decided by society as we move forward. But for many people, I think, who have dogs, for instance, they would say they would see that there is a person inside that dog. I haven't got the evidence for that, apart from the anecdotal that people share with us. But I do know that the evidence for cetaceans is solid, it's strong, and it's growing. So I don't think it's for us to actually be lined up and then have to decide where the line is. That is where society and we as human beings will end up wanting to decide that over time. But the moment you draw a line, you're basically trying to say, well, we can't go beyond that. And actually, science is taking us beyond that. And with cetaceans, we've had to move beyond the shadow of doubt and say, look, if there was any doubt, we should be giving them the balance. In the balance of this, we should be giving them the best interest we can. Now I think the science is taking us over that hurdle, and we should just be honest enough and wake up to that and say, this is a group of animals that deserve better protection, and most probably through the institution of their rights.
Okay, so let's move on to the idea of legal standing and rights. Will enhanced rights for cetaceans lead to, what are the legal implications of enhanced rights? Do they now have standing to sue in court, for instance? What's going to happen?
I think if we look at modern society anyway, the corporations have rights in the US, in Europe.
Yeah.
And, you know, if a non-sentient thing as a corporation can have rights, legal standing, then why shouldn't a breathing, living, sentient other creature? Of course, we'll have to have structures which allow us as human beings to help advocate for them and make sure that those rights are being recognized and upheld. We'll have to create structures for that. But yes, at some point, I believe that they would have standing to make sure that their rights are actually being protected in the courts. And we're actually seeing shifts. There is shifts in the way things are going forward. In the European Union, there's a thing called the Habitats and Species Directive, which already recognizes cetaceans as individuals. The European Union has tried to avoid using the phrase stocks, which is an old phrase that's used to describe whales and dolphins. You know, there's this many in the stock. And they use populations, which is biologically correct. But increasingly, the law is moving to how do you protect that individual? So I think we're seeing this progression take place, and it's going to improve. Only at the end of last year, at a major international conference of over 100 countries called the Convention on Migratory Species, the scientific grouping of CMS was tasked with actually studying the issue of social complexity and culture transmission in cetaceans, and asked what is the challenge this is going to pose for us in terms of conservation going forward. So I think the courts, it's an elastic relationship between public perception, where the science is, and where the legal position is. And sometimes the law is ahead of us, sometimes public perception is ahead of us, and sometimes the science leads us. But I think they're kind of starting, that the science is now going forward, it's catching up with public perception and public the majority public view on this. And now the law really has to start to catch up and say, right, how do we deal with this? How do we enshrine this in some way?
Chris, what is going to be the likely effect of this legal status on conservation policy? How are we going to, from a practical standpoint, be treating these animals in the seas?
I think the first thing it does is it moves us as human beings from just taking an anthropocentric approach. You know, we tend to look at, say, the fish that we consume from the oceans. and say, right, how much can we take as human beings? And unfortunately, that model has led to something like 85% of the fish stocks around the world being either heavily depleted or coming up to recover from being overexploited. But 85% are in a tenuous state. If we have to start thinking about that we will have to ensure that cetaceans have their access to fish stocks, it means that we are going to have to be more conservative in the way that we approach the taking of fish. I think it's going to be the end of dolphinaria. We are not going to see the captive display of whales and dolphins in circuses. We're going to have to see industry take responsibility for returning these creatures back to the wild, returning them back to their families. Definitely going to mean a challenge for those who hunt whales and dolphins. But if you look at the majority of hunts that take place in terms of the commercial whaling, it's absolutely unnecessary anyway, both from a cultural or from an economic point of view. The three major commercial whaling hunts that take place in the world are all subsidized. So that would put a huge pressure that those hunts would end and that those countries would start to comply with this evolution of compassion and understanding as we move forward. So I think we would see real practical conservation taking place, and it will challenge us. It will challenge us to improve. And I personally think that actually it enhances us as human beings. The moment that we start to realize that we share this planet with others, that we have a responsibility not just to grab what we can for the future, but to secure this planet for all those creatures that are out there. And these figurehead species can be the ones that help us to learn that lesson. Then I think there's an advantage to us, and I think it's helping us in terms of our survival as we move forward, as well as them.
What a huge idea, and what a wonderful vision. Chris, where can people learn more about whales and dolphins and the topics we've discussed today?
Well, if they want to come to the WDCS website, which is just wdcs.org, they'll find gateways to a whole host of information about whales and dolphins. You'll find links to remarkable books like the work of Thomas White, who created the book called The In Defense of Dolphins, which lays out a lot of these arguments in a really, really succinct way. You can
That's
find
great.
Out about the science, and you can find out about this remarkable group of creatures.
Thanks, Chris Butler-Stroud. This is Animals Today. Stay tuned. Lori will be speaking about cockfighting right after a break. Thanks a lot.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred, or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's barracuda.com/archiver.
And now, guys, Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Maxwell, you're on.
Cool. And so you just want me to read the script? You don't want me to do the wee thing?
Okay. Today, I'm going to talk about the new Geico mobile app and how you can manage your policy and get your ID card and customize it with your favorite Geico character. But I'm not yelling wee or anything because they don't want me to, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just saying it's my thing.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Chapstick asks, do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry?
Hey, this is Tatiana, and I say yes, green apple is better. Cherry is just so expected, like the world tasted cherry and forgot to taste anything else. A green apple kiss stands out. It's got lots of moisturizers, so it's always softer and smoother. Because I want the guy who's kissing me to know it's Tatiana who's kissing him back.
Do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry? Why not kiss with both and have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick.
Studies show ginkgo biloba improves ankle health.
Make beta-carotene your go-to hydrocarbon.
It's all about the riboflavin.
Cauliflower.
Overwhelmed by having to make smart nutritional choices? Then leave it to Centrum to help you choose. Centrum Complete Multivitamins give you the multiple benefits that matter most to you, like energy, immunity, and metabolism. With Centrum, taking care of your nutrition couldn't be simpler. And now visit newnutritionpossible.com to find the multivitamin and supplement combination that's right for you.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
The little red rooster, too late to crow for day.
Welcome back to Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. So listen, a couple weeks ago, right here in my backyard, a big cockfighting ring bust occurred. And if you're like me, you just find this unbelievable that people are still fighting roosters. And I thought I'd talk briefly about this particular case with someone who was involved in this bust so we can learn a little bit about what you and I can and should do if you suspect one of your deranged neighbors is fighting animals at their property. So with us now is Deputy Carlos Mendoza. He works on the special enforcement team for the Jurupa Valley Station. This team is responsible for enforcing all manner of quality of life issues for the city of Jurupa Valley. This includes gang enforcement, narcotics enforcement, and in some cases, animal cruelty. Welcome to the program, Deputy Mendoza.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Good morning.
So, Deputy, tell us about your recent cockfighting investigation here.
So what happened, unfortunately, this case has not yet gone to trial, and some of the details cannot yet be revealed to the public. I can tell you the investigation lasted several months. It was a collaborative effort between the Riverside Sheriff's Department, Riverside County Code Enforcement, Riverside County Animal Control, and the Humane Society. The way I came along into the investigation was that code enforcement asked that I ride along with them on a follow-up investigation they were conducting at that residence. I went with code enforcement to the location, and due to my training and experience, I saw several indicators of cockfighting at the residence and the outlying buildings around it. There was numerous gamecocks which had been mutilated for fighting. When I say mutilated, I'm talking about the combs and wattles had been removed from the bird. Also, the natural spurs that grow on the legs of the animal had been sawed off, which is usually the way they're taken off. There was a lack of hens at the location. It was all roosters. Numerous enclosures with gamecocks separated individually. Cutting instruments used for cockfighting, such as metal blades, that are usually put in place of the natural spur. The structure that we went to go look at was up to code at first appearance. But as we entered the structure, the interior was definitely not up to code. There was no drywall. The studs in the building were visible. It had two ceiling fans, a swamp cooler. When we asked the gentleman what it was for, he told us that it was used for storage. However, there was no concrete on the floor. The floor was made entirely of dirt. And, of course, probably the biggest indicator at that time, the dirt floor had markings on it where a ring had been set up. And, unfortunately, it was very sad to see there was a lot of feathers and blood in the center of the floor. Obviously, a cockfight had ensued there not too far in the past, at the time of my arrival. With this information, I wrote and obtained a search warrant for the resident. The search warrant was served. Three primary suspects were arrested for conspiracy, animal cruelty, and illegal gambling. 80 birds were euthanized by animal control, unfortunately, and more than $14,000 were confiscated from the primary suspect as revenue from the cockfights. 31 suspects that were at the location for the purposes of being spectators at a cockfighting event were also cited at the location.
Wow, that's incredible and so sad. Carlos, what are some of the problems law enforcement officials have when investigating cockfighting?
I think that what happens is a lot of citizens tend to look at cockfighting as a victimless crime. They don't really tend to look at the animal as being a victim, which is obviously very, very sad and very inaccurate. There's a lack of reporting from the public. People tend to turn a blind eye when it comes to that kind of situation, either because they don't care or because they choose that. They choose not to get involved. There's also a huge lack of cooperation when it comes to investigating the crime. Once law enforcement has become involved and they're trying to figure out where it is that these things are going on or who this person is or how long it's been going on, neighbors are very often afraid of retaliation for cooperating with law enforcement, and you get a lot of uncooperation. Unfortunately, also, it's a very culturally acceptable to some people. Most Latin American countries, not all, but most of them, find cockfighting to be completely acceptable by social standards. In our own country, the South, specifically Louisiana and Texas, cockfighting is huge there, so it's very culturally acceptable there. And in the Philippines, of course, cockfighting is not only accepted, it's legal. There is no laws banning it. It's a huge sport for them down there. It's pretty bad when it's culturally accepted by so many different people. It makes it very hard to fight it from a law enforcement perspective. Of course, one of the biggest issues that we have, of course, is a lack of resources and dedicated enforcement from any specific law enforcement agency towards combating this problem.
Wow. Carlos, what are some of the crimes associated with cockfighting?
Illegal gambling is almost always present. People don't fight their gamecocks for free. Betting is constantly taking place. In organized events, there will be a specific person or even persons dedicated to the taking of bets, with the house always keeping a small percentage for itself. Drugs are also prevalent. Marijuana, methamphetamine, and cocaine have been seized during numerous of these events. Additionally, the illegal sales of alcohol are quite common at the location. Of course, you know, wherever there's betting, large amounts of money and drugs, there's a need for security, unfortunately, and firearms are almost always present at these events, many of them being possessed illegally and often carried by people with a criminal past. Of course, the need for this type of security is because robberies are very common in cockfighting events. Criminals know that there are ample amounts of money and drugs at these locations, and it's not uncommon for cockfighting events to get robbed.
Wow. So how does law enforcement get involved in investigating cockfighting? And, Carlos, with that, just in the interest of time here, tell us some telltale signs out there, what my listeners can do to assist law enforcement as it pertains to these types of incidents.
Right. Definitely, people should be on the lookout for residences with numerous gamecocks. The limitations on this, of course, vary from location to location, but any large amount of gamecocks with lack of hens at the location is always a huge indicator. Gamecocks with appendages removed, I mentioned that earlier, as far as their combs, wattles, the natural spurs that occur in these animals, if they're removed, that's also a huge indicator. A lot of people arriving at any given location carrying transport cases, these are usually made of cardboard or wood with perforated sides so the animal can breathe. Any person collecting entrance fees in front of a location, multiple people parking at a house or any other designated location and gathering at that particular house that's suspect, especially in the early mornings of weekends and in the late nights on Fridays. If people can see into somebody else's backyard, any cockfighting rings, these are usually 8 foot by 8 foot and are made of usually plywood. They're about 3 feet tall, and they're always taken apart and put to the side. So if anybody sees anything like that, and, of course, instruments that are used for cockfighting, such as metal spurs, blades, small timers in the center of an arena, anything like that is a huge indicator.
And Carlos, where do citizens and my listeners call to report these crimes if they see some of these signs that you just described?
They can contact any law enforcement agency. It depends on where they live. It could either be a police department, a constable, a sheriff's department, whatever law enforcement is in their area is probably the best way to go. The Humane Society also has a great website designed for reporting these things. You can remain completely anonymous when you contact them. Let them know, hey, you know, I think this is going on here. They will forward that information to the appropriate agency and make sure that somebody kind of gets a handle on it so we can stop these kinds of crimes.
And Carlos, is this the way typically that law enforcement gets involved, because you get a tip from a caller? Or is it routine that the patrol officers just encounter cockfighting operations as sort of like a routine call for service?
Yes. Well, most patrol officers will eventually encounter cockfighting as a routine call for service. Somebody will call and report suspicious activity at a location. They might think it's a large gathering or a large party or somebody's driveway got blocked or something like that. The officer will arrive to investigate what he thinks is just a routine call for service and suddenly find himself surrounded by, you know, suspects running in every different direction with gamecocks under their arms. And obviously he or she knows at that point in time that, you know, they've obviously come into a cockfight. Patrol officers might also be called to a location by animal control. Animal control might go to a location to investigate any number of crimes or any number of violations and then suddenly find themselves at a cockfighting event. But tips are also the biggest thing.
Yeah, tips. Deputy Carlos Mendoza, thank you so much for sharing that information with me and my listeners.
Not a problem at all, ma'am. Thank you very much for having me on.
Don't go away. We have Peter and the news. Right up next on Animals Today.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? You know, I can't... Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me. LOL, you are my BFF. So, like I was saying...
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation. There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or
or neuter your pets right away, and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
If you're watching your wallet like most of us, then here's a family vacation offer from Caribbean Cruise Line. Imagine your family on a luxurious vacation to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, full spa, casino, live entertainment, three kids clubs, a kids water park, and more. Now imagine getting this amazing vacation deal for only $59 per person. This cruise has a full retail value of $500, and it's yours for just $59. We guarantee your family will love this vacation offer, and you'll love the price at just $59 per person for a $500 all-inclusive cruise to the Bahamas. Call right now. Book your cruise vacation. Space is limited. Call 800-364-3105, 800-364-3105, 800-364-3105, 800-364-3105.
At Quicken Loans, we provide you with state-of-the-art online tools, like our app for your smartphone, MyQL Mobile. This means that if you work with a mortgage lender other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with someone who doesn't use state-of-the-art online tools. Let me demonstrate. Can I upload my mortgage documents with your mobile app?
No, sorry. We don't offer mobile apps. I didn't realize appetizers were mobile.
Are you using a typewriter?
Why, yes, I am. We just upgraded from Carrier Pigeon.
So I take it you don't offer your clients the latest and greatest technology.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
Industry-leading tools like MyQL Mobile to get you through your loan process with speed and ease. One more way Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Prices are for base buildings only. May not be available in some areas.
Attention business owners, do you want a stimulus package that really works? Before you spend thousands of dollars more than you should on your next building project, listen to this. General Steel has a stimulus package designed to help you save as much as half the cost of conventional construction on your next building.
As much as half?
That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first, and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. With the projected demand for steel in Japan and China, prices may be skyrocketing.
Call 800-215-1727, 800-215-1727, 800-215-1727.
She's fashionably lean, and she's fashionably late. She'll never wreck a scene. She'll never.
Hey, welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
What's going on in the news?
Oh, I've got news from around the world for us today.
Good.
Starting in one of our favorite hotspots of the illegal animal trade, Thailand. 200 animals at a private zoo were liberated or captured in their largest wildlife bust recently, including animals that were destined to be sold domestically or smuggled, like tigers, white lions, pumas, kangaroos, flamingos, cranes, marmosets, orangutans, and red pandas, all seized from this private zoo. Isn't it incredible what
it
goes
is.
On there?
Wow.
And considering how harsh the penalties are have becoming, too, it continues to be a very hot business in Thailand.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Japan, they are trying to breed in a zoo these Chinese alligators. So Chinese alligators are native to the basin of the Yangtze River, and they have successfully bred these alligators in captivity in the zoo, but they're having trouble recently. Apparently, they have made their enclosure more secure, and they're using very thick lucite walls. And when they bang on the wall, which previously it made a sound that induced them to get all frenzied and mate, that sound is now altered and no longer works.
Oh.
So
what do they do?
So they are bringing in these traditional Japanese drummers in their big, huge drums, and they bang them, and that's supposed to sound like the mating cry of the alligators and hopefully get them in the mood.
So they artificially try to stimulate these.
So you're a drummer, and that's your goal,
yeah,
is to
okay.
excite the alligators.
Yeah.
And it's not working completely yet. The female gets interested, the male not so much.
Right. So male wants better music.
Better mood music. In the Antarctic waters, the Antarctic blue whale, which is a wonderful long-lived creature, maybe 70 to 100 years, they are making a comeback, according to a recent research publication out of the Marine Mammal Institute at Oregon State University. They did genetic testing of 166 individual whales to look at their diversity of their genetic material, and they found that actually, even though the population was quite small in the 60s after intense hunting, that they actually are got a fair amount of genetic diversity.
That's so great.
Which means that they've got a healthy population, which means that all those, you know, diseases that you get from inbreeding are not that likely, and they have a good prognosis. These whales are 33,000 pounds on average, and the fact that they live so long means that they've got probably some that were around in the 60s are probably still alive. And that also permits them to enhance their genetic diversity. So when they faced what the scientists refer to as a genetic they call it a genetic bottle something, or I can't remember right now, but it's bottleneck, where the population gets so small that the only remaining individuals they have to inbreed, and that's where you get into trouble, such as with other species like the Florida panther. There are so few panthers, they are inbreeding and they're getting sick.
Yeah. And similar to inbreeding of dogs.
Right.
Correct?
It's very analogous to the discussion we had a couple of weeks ago about
sure
inbreeding dogs. So,
yeah, that's fascinating.
And the real interesting thing is why does this happen? They're really not sure. We have a lot to learn about these whales, but of how they were able to survive this bottleneck so successfully needs to be delineated.
Yeah.
Okay. In Florida, in Miami, a crazy taxidermist has been sentenced to 20 months in prison, which is pretty strong. He was illegally importing pieces of exotic animals and making sort of these crazy assemblies of animals in taxidermy poses, parts of one animal connected to another, alleged art pieces, and was selling them. So he had a whole network of folks who were supplying him with these illegal pieces. So he's going to prison for 20 months.
So he would get illegal pieces of animals.
Exotic animals.
Different species of animals, and
right.
put them all together, mix and match.
Right.
To create a
Frankenstein-type
wow.
figures, they call. Right. And he had a whole network of folks delivering and smuggling this stuff to him. This is Miami.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah. In Michigan, a animal rights activist has been arrested and is going to be prosecuted for making threatening remarks to a cardiovascular researcher. This researcher at Wayne State University obtained a personal protection order against her, and yet she continued to allegedly post threatening blogs on the Negotiation Is Over blog and other social media, and she is going to be facing a trial coming up soon. So if you're going to post things on social network, be ready to face the potential consequences if you're going to threaten people. So I'll let you know what happens, because this is an important first free speech case.
Right, right.
So we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Peter. Listen, follow me on Twitter. I just created... I'm tweeting! I'm tweeting. I never thought I'd tweet, just because I don't like that word. But now I am tweeting, so follow me on Twitter. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eglin's Best Eggs. What makes Eglin's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eglin's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all natural Eglin's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eglin's Best. Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell. An international mediator has nothing to show for 2 days of talks in Syria. With more, here's Middle East correspondent Mark Levy.
Kofi Annan came to Damascus with a non-starter, a call for talks between the regime of President Bashar Assad and his opponents. And the former UN chief leaves with nothing achieved. Assad calls his opponents terrorists. The opposition calls Assad a murderer. Neither side wants to talk. And that was clear before Annan arrived. So the highest-level mediation effort yet in Syria is a failure, and the bloodshed continues. Annan says before anything else can happen, the violence has to stop.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai puts the death toll from an overnight shooting rampage in southern Kandahar at 16. The deputy commander of NATO forces in Afghanistan says he's dismayed by the incident. 9 children and 3 women are among the dead. You're listening to IRN USA Radio News.
Right now, you could be making the biggest mistake of your financial future. 7 out of 10 people will likely need long-term care. Chances are, that includes you. Your long-term care costs could be $65,000 a year or more.